This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. If there's one thing Michiganders can agree on, it's our love and cherishing feelings for the Great Lakes. However, since the opening of the St. Lawrence Seaway in 1959, there are a lot of invasive species that have made their way to Michigan via ballast water from ships. If you've ever cut your foot on a zebra mussel, you know what I'm talking about. And if you do any reading about the biology of the lakes, you know just how devastating those mussels have been. Although our waters are clearer because of them, they're not necessarily more healthy. The EPA is proposing some new rules regarding ballast water. And there are many groups and some Great Lakes governors, including Governor Whitmer, who are pushing back on the proposed changes. With us today is National Wildlife Federation's Policy Director, Mark Smith. Mark, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on.
First of all, for those who don't follow shipping in the lakes very much, can you explain sort of what ballast water is and why people in Michigan should care about it?
Sure. Well, it's really easy. Essentially, big vessels, ships that come from all over the world, have to take on water into the ballast of their tanks in order to balance themselves in the water. So when they approach a port, when they unload their cargo, they're imbalanced. So they have to take on the water surrounding them into their ballast tanks to make them more balanced. And then when they are en route, they, depending on whether they have cargo on or they don't have cargo on, it's just a question of discharging that water out before they take on new cargo. So it's just a way to, for the ships to actually balance themselves in the water.
And the ballast water tends to carry all sorts of species, some of which might be microbial and very small, and some of which might be larger. What kind of invasive species have come to Michigan via ballast water?
Yeah, and that's the big problem with ballast water is that it's not just taking in water. It's taking in every single organism, bacteria, virus that is in that water into the tank. And then when they discharge it into a new water, they're introducing an invasive species to a new water body. And probably the most notorious poster child of invasive species here in the Great Lakes are the zebra mussels. And everyone who lives in the Great Lakes and has spent time on the Great Lakes are pretty much aware that in some places, instead of sand on the Great Lakes, we actually have crushed zebra mussel shells as serving as our beach. They also attach themselves to lots of intakes for municipal purposes. Industry has pipes that they have to spend hundreds of millions of dollars each year to clean zebra mussels off their pipes, as well as commercial and recreational boaters who have to clean the hulls where zebra mussels attach themselves. So they're the poster child for what invasive species are here in the Great Lakes and the poster child for ballast water introductions of them.
You know, species are mobile, and I don't know. I mean, I see, as much as this has been one of the great environmental threats to the lake of past decades, the movement of species is not exactly new. What's different about the movement of species via ballast water that didn't happen pre-contact?
Well, with the opening of the St. Lawrence Seaway in the late 50s, it really opened up the Great Lakes and our region and our economy to a worldwide commerce. And not only did we exchange goods and increase our trade, we also brought in a whole different harm to our environment and our economy by the introduction of invasive species. These are species that are not from here, and some that are introduced from across the world and come here are benign. They're not harmful, but a majority of them are, and they really take a toll on our economy and our way of life up here. And, you know, they are moved around from, you know, lake to lake. And so we have ocean-going ships, which are called salties, that they bring them in. But we also have vessels here in the Great Lakes called Lakers, which pull in ballast water and move the invasive species from one lake to the other. So when you have vehicles like Lakers moving them around across the Great Lakes, the spread is astronomical. And it's no longer a question of trying to keep them out, but it's managing them. And millions of dollars are spent each year on simply trying to manage them. The impact on tourism, our quality of life, and, you know, fishing. We have a $7 billion fishing industry in the Great Lakes. We have a $15 billion boating industry. So it really does take a hard undermining of our quality of life and economic vitality here in the region.
How have ballast water discharge rules changed over the years?
Well, it's interesting. EPA was reluctantly, Environmental Protection Agency, was reluctantly dragged into the need to actually regulate ballast water. It wasn't until a series of lawsuits in the 1990s that basically said that invasive species that are discharged into freshwater are essentially a biological pollutant, and therefore they should be regulated under the Clean Water Act. So EPA was basically dragged into this. And as a result, every 5 years since the 1990s, EPA was issuing a permit for ballast water for ships that was basically inadequate. It did not do enough to keep them out of new waters. So through a series of lawsuits from various groups, including the National Wildlife Federation over the years, we really continue to make EPA issue a stronger ballast water permit. It's been going on for almost 30 plus years. We've gotten stronger protections and rules put out by EPA, but never strong enough to keep them out and really fully protect the Great Lakes and the economy. So it's been for 30 plus years where we've been trying to make sure that EPA issues a strong standard that is balanced, that allows for commerce to continue, but allows for that commerce to continue that does not undermine the economy and our ecology here in the Great Lakes.
So we've got a set of rules that have been shown to be effective, and we're coming up to the end of one president's time in office. Why is the EPA considering changing these rules now?
Well, EPA was required to issue a standard from legislation that passed in 2018. It's called the Vessel Incidental Discharge Act, VIDA. And that law basically said that EPA must issue a standard that is protective of the Great Lakes, but also regulates all vessels that operate within the Great Lakes over a certain size. We're talking the big ocean-going vessels and the big lake-only vessels, our Lakers. And that was Congress's intent because there was so much back and forth between industry, between EPA, between conservation communities that were challenging standards, and we weren't really getting anywhere. So Congress stepped in and tried to create a new regime that would be more protective and regulate all vessels. And so EPA was required to do this. Unfortunately, when they issued their draft standard, October 2019, they didn't follow what Congress intended it to do. And so it's inefficient and it's ineffective. And it's not surprising. I think that they are trying to finalize this rule, but also a handful of other environmental rules before the new Biden administration takes over in a few weeks. So they're trying to ram this thing through as fast as they can. And it's unfortunate because at the end of the day, the permit and the program that they're proposing will not be strong enough to keep our Great Lakes protected from invasive species.
What's your sense of how the incoming Biden administration might or might not take action on these rules?
Well, nothing's a given. We have a lot of optimism that the Biden EPA will look at this standard very differently than what the Trump administration has. If you look at the Trump administration's rule proposal, it could be written by the shipping industry. And we think that the Biden EPA will take a harder look at this and probably try to seek a little more balance and more protection and follow the intention of what Congress wanted and that all vessels should be regulated, because the Trump administration's proposal exempted Lakers from this proposal, which, if you think about it, they are the biggest transport of invasive species in the Great Lakes. The Lakers did not introduce them, but they certainly move around them, and there's science to back that up. There's been many studies that suggest that Lakers are almost the biggest vector to carry invasive species from lake to lake. So that's probably the biggest difference, what we'll see from a Biden EPA. I think that they will have a different perspective. I think they will try to seek more balance than what the Trump administration has proposed.
Do you see any easy fixes or places to compromise with the Lakers or other players who are involved in the rulemaking?
I do. I think there's always room for compromise. And, you know, it's not a yes or no. It's not they versus us. It really is, what is the common ground? We know we need the shipping industry in this region. They are a vital component of our economy. No one is saying to shut them down. No one is saying that they cannot operate. What we are saying is that there needs to be rules in place so that the ships can operate in a way that does not undermine our economy in the Great Lakes. And there are technologies out there that the shipping industry can put on their ships that could control or at least try to reduce the amount of invasive species that are discharged into the water. The U.S. Coast Guard has certified a handful of technologies that could potentially be placed on these ships. whether it's a, you know, ultraviolet radiation from some sort of chemical concentrations that are mitigated before they're discharged into the Great Lakes. There is technology, and there's best available technology out there that EPA did not actually consider when issuing this standard. So there's no silver bullet that's going to stop immediate introductions of invasive species. The only way we're going to get 100% assurance that that's going to happen is if you just don't have any discharge at all. And at this point, that's not a reality. So in the interim, before we can get to a silver bullet, we have to put on technologies on ships that give us some protections, because right now we just don't. And saying no to technology on a ship is not the compromise. It's not the pragmatic approach forward. And, you know, groups like National Wildlife Federation and a lot of members of Congress just want technology on the ships so they can see, does it work? Does it not work? What can we learn from this? And then if after 5 years of a technology on a ship, we could possibly assess, was that good enough? You know, what could we do better? And that's what we're asking for. And I think that's why we're a little upset and frustrated. After all these years, we're still seeing an EPA issuing out a standard that is not looking forward and taking into account the best available technology out there to help reduce the chance that invasive species are introduced through ballast water into the Great Lakes.
Mark, how would you describe what's at stake right now? Is this a matter of the backslide that might happen on some species that we know about, like Asiatic carp or zebra mussels? Or are you looking more forward to the threats that we don't know about?
Well, this is a long threat to our Great Lakes. And, you know, we have a lot of exacerbating threats that are newer. I mean, Asian carp obviously being one of them, but there's climate change, there's lake level changes, fluctuations, chemicals, PFAS. We have a lot of concerns that are building up as more threat to the Great Lakes. But this is a long-standing threat that has been fought and fought over for many, many years. And I just wish it was different. You know, there needs to be a middle ground approach here. And we felt that what Congress had passed a couple of years ago was sufficient to get us to where we needed to go. That obviously didn't pan out as what we wanted to. But I do think that there is a path forward here for compromise. Just like we have CAFE fuel standards for vehicles, where we have fuel efficient vehicles now, that was mandated by Congress so that we can have, you know, cleaner air from pollution from vehicles. Just like we had the catalytic converter. We have done this before. It just needs to be the incentive for industry to catch up and incentives potentially to help defray the costs of putting on these technologies. We can be creative in doing this. And that's what I feel I'm most frustrated on, is the lack of desire on all players here to really work together to figure this out. And this rule kind of furthers the frustration and doesn't advance us to where we need to be. And that is finding compromise, working together, industry, agencies, businesses, community groups like National Wildlife Federation, to really figure this out and put in place protections that are reasonable and doesn't cost industry a whole heck of a lot of money to do. And I think that's probably the biggest barrier to all this progress, is the cost of putting technologies on. And we have long said that we would love to work with industry to help provide incentives and to help defray those costs. So that's the kind of a conversation I think that needs to move forward. And we hope the Biden EPA would help facilitate those conversations so that we can move forward and have good progress on this issue.
Mark Smith of the National Wildlife Federation, thank you for talking to us about this.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.